We are continuing our series, He Still Heals. Amen? And the title of the sermon tonight is The Amazing Faith That Moved Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 5 to 13. I have the NIV translation in front of me. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed that moment. Verse 7, I think, is so important for us tonight. Shall I come and heal him? And I want to encourage you tonight, whatever you need healing from, I believe that Jesus is always willing and he's always able to heal. There is no sickness and no problem beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. And when we place ourselves in the context of this story, we can see that the centurion's servant is sick, paralyzed. He cannot move from his current position or location. He is so weak and feeble that the centurion has actually presented himself to Jesus, not the servant. The centurion doesn't even stipulate or communicate in any way what the sickness actually is, only that he is suffering terribly and lying at home. Imagine being for a moment that centurion's servant. You're in excruciating, unimaginable pain. You cannot look after yourself. You cannot support or help yourself. But the problem here is that the centurion's servant's sickness was so severe and so bad that only Jesus can help. And the same is true for us spiritually. We're all born spiritually sick, and the only remedy is the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Amen? I want to take a moment to expand on that today. Perhaps you're here, you're physically fit, you're healthy, you've got all your faculties and scruples about you. You've got full mobility, full range of motion in every part of your body, but you may not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Respectfully, communicated with love and with grace, but in truth, you are actually worse off than a centurion's servant, spiritually speaking. You may not even recognize or respect that reality, but that doesn't make it untrue. Romans 5, verse 6 declares, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." The key word there is powerless. It better translates without strength, impotent. There is an astonishing spiritual parallel between the servant's physical state and the spiritual state of every single sinner. Nobody's exempt, and there are no excuses that will be accepted by Jesus. And yet, two verses later in Romans 5, verse 8, this truth emerges. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So let's take a moment to think about the centurion. The commentators, the scholars, he would have been a mid to reasonably high-level military officer. He would have worked and served for probably more than 10 or 12 years to attain and achieve that title and role that he was functioning in. He was serving willingly in that time. And his heart was full of service and sacrifice. But this centurion approached Jesus out of both desire but also desperation. His first words to the Lord Jesus Christ is simply, "Lord." You've got to understand, in the culture in that time, a Roman soldier of that caliber and stature has pledged complete allegiance to the Roman emperor. He would have been willing to die in those conditions. And yet he starts by calling Jesus Lord. That's not a casual passing pleasantry, but he is accepting and acknowledging the sovereignty and the lordship of Jesus Christ over his life. He's motivated and moved by the compassion on the desperate state of his servant. He is confident, maybe even convinced, that Jesus can heal him. Tonight, I believe we need to have the same measure of confidence and conviction that Jesus can heal each and every one of us, or the people that we know, we love, and we care for. Because everything captured and conveyed by the centurion's opening word to Jesus informs us that he reveres and respects Jesus very, very much. It would have been unheard of in that time for a servant to be living in the home of a military officer. It would not have been an accepted norm. But picture the scene. You have a strong, steady, stable, steadfast Roman soldier, sworn his allegiance to the Roman emperor, moved by compassion and care for his servant. He knows his servant is enduring and experiencing excruciating pain. He himself knows he cannot help, but he has heard about someone who can. Amen? He's not pleading for health and healing for himself, but he is petitioning Jesus on behalf of someone else. This individual is not equal or superior to him. He's a low-level, basic servant. A centurion of success and stature, humbling himself to approach a Jewish rabbi who he has heard performs miracles. And I want to encourage each and every one of us tonight to do the same. Maybe you do it for yourself, praise God. Maybe you stand in the gap for somebody else tonight. The centurion doesn't waste any time in his communication and conversation with Jesus. There are no pleasantries. He gets straight into the situation that his servant is enduring. We are all worthy of Jesus's time and attention. Amen? God wants us to communicate just the way that this centurion communicates. And he is so convinced that Jesus can heal him, he believes that Jesus only has to say the word. And as Pentecostals, we love having hands laid over us. We love the anointing oil. We love all these different features and qualities. And amen, it's biblical. But this centurion's faith is so strong, he believes that his servant can be in one location and Jesus speaks the word in another location and his servant can be healed. Do we believe the same tonight? That regardless of our geographical location or the geographical location of people we love and know, that Jesus can touch them in their home, in the hospital, wherever they are, and bring instant, irreversible healing. Jesus spent time with the leper. He physically touched a leper, unheard of in those times, and the leper was healed. This centurion simply marveled at the autonomy and the authority that Jesus had. Jesus only had to speak the word, give an order, something that centurion would have understood very, very well. There was no doubting, no delays, no denials. He just expected it to happen. And in my sermon prep and in my reflections, I was stirred and just reminded of that song by Charity Gale. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every circumstance. The name of Jesus is sufficient for breakthrough, for victory. Verse 9, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Do you know that Jesus' authority stretches far beyond the borders of your own personal authority? It is a sovereign authority that governs all of creation, which means that God is in control of absolutely everything in your life. The centurion is probably unable to comprehend in his own understanding the vast victorious authority that Jesus possesses, and therefore he may have a moment where he's not sure, but he knew enough to know that Jesus could heal his servant. And the same is true for us today as Spirit-filled believers, that we recognize the sovereignty and the lordship of Jesus Christ, that there is nothing under heaven and earth that Jesus is not in control of, and therefore we can have victory. But what does Jesus actually say to this man? What does he do? Verse 10 is astonishing. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. If you've got the ESV or the New King James in front of you, it says he marveled. And he said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Let's take a moment and pause here. This is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus actually commends somebody's faith. Now, before the theological scholars attack me and say, no, that's not true, Pastor Scott, it is true. There are moments where he says, ah, your faith has made you well, but this is the only time in the Gospels where he actually proactively commends somebody's faith in him. It forced me to think about my own faith in Jesus Christ. Would Jesus be amazed at my faith? I was like, not sure. Where do you sit? I think it's an astonishing reality for each and every one of us to grasp. Your faith has made you well, I accept that, but these are very, very different and distinct words here. The word declares that Jesus was amazed, marveled by this faith. It must have been a really deep-rooted faith that was able to move Jesus in such a manner. He proves this by stating, I have not found anyone in Israel with such faith. This is awkward because that includes his disciples at this point. These are the people that have been walking around with Jesus that have seen firsthand miracle after miracle. And yet Jesus says, nope, this centurion right here, this is the faith that you need to have. This is the faith that, dare I say it, impresses me. That Jesus is amazed by, marveled at. It's clear, it's comprehensive. The centurion was so convinced in his heart that Jesus possessed all the authority needed and necessary to perform a miracle whenever he wanted to do it. There is nothing in this story that the centurion had anything other than that in his life. And so I want to build your faith. I want you to elevate your faith tonight, that if you can grasp and grow your faith, you will receive your miracle by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because this faith was irresistible to Jesus. He speaks very few words to the centurion, but his opening words are to commend and acknowledge and celebrate the centurion's faith. We think of Hebrews 11, the chapter, the great hall of fame of all the mighty men and women of God who have had massive, incredible faith. We know in verse 6 the word declares, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. And that's exactly what this centurion did. He sought Jesus. He actually went to look for him because he had heard about Jesus. And he knew that this man had the capacity, had the ability, had the desire to bring healing into his servant's life. And I want to impress upon you and implore you, if you seek Jesus with all of your heart and you have faith, you will have what you believe in Jesus' name. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We think about the great evangelist of recent times, Reinhard Bonnke. He declared that all believers in Jesus Christ are to, quote, plunder hell and populate heaven. That is more than a simple soundbite. That is the job description of everyone who calls themselves a believer in Jesus Christ. God's kingdom is going to be filled and is filled with people, mighty men and women of God, who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And they will emerge from every continent and country in the world. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 prove this. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and with your blood on purchased for God's people every tribe and language, every people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And right here at KT, we are privileged to have people from every country and every continent in the world. And so what does Jesus actually then say to the centurion? Jesus turns his heart and his focus back to him. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. Jesus responds to the centurion again, highlighting his strong and steadfast faith. He sends the centurion on his way, presumably back to his own home. Jesus' last words to him, "Let it be done just as you have believed." A final word of empowerment and encouragement to the centurion. Faith is crucial for healing, but it is not the only quality necessary to possess. Because nobody's faith is perfect or somehow immaculate. Consider the boy possessed by impure spirits in Mark 9. The father cried out in desperation in verse 22, "But if you can do anything, take pity on me and help us." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? God, if you can do anything, would you do this? Desperation birthed out of a need and a deep dependency on God to break through in a situation, maybe financially, maybe relationally, maybe a spiritual, a mental, a physical state and condition. What does Jesus say? Verse 23, "If you can," says Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the father's boy exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my belief." And I believe as we start doubting our doubts and we start feeding our faith and starving our fears, we will see the healing anointing of God over every part of our lives. Amen? We need to cling tightly to the promises of Scripture and not allow our current experience to frame all of whom Jesus is. Keep your faith honest. Keep it genuine. In that story, Jesus still healed the father's son in spite of the slivers of unbelief, not exclusively because of his faith. Jesus heals because he can. He healed the centurion's servant. Verse 13 tells us he was healed at the same hour. And yet here's the awkward part theologically. In the whole story, we get zero visibility or insight into the centurion's servant's faith. Nothing. Not a word. You would assume that he would have a measure of faith, but we get nothing. Jesus does not discriminate on who he wants to heal. If Jesus wants to heal you, he can and he will in Jesus' name. Amen? And I think that's significant for us today, because Jesus is aware of our frailties. Nobody's faith is perfect, but our faith in Jesus should progress upwards as our walk with Jesus progresses forwards. And as we experience and enjoy more and more of him, our faith is fueled by our answers to prayer, and we can live in more favor, more grace, more love, and more joy. Do not give the devil a foothold in your life. Submit and surrender to the Lord tonight. Do not go to God as a last resort. The centurion did not do this, but as a first step of faith and obedience, because Jesus can and he will heal you. He's the great healer, the healer of every facet and feature of your life. Look at how the centurion actually engages and interacts with Jesus. No aggression, no assumptions, no demands, no entitlement. He is walking, although he himself is a mid to high level officer, he is walking in great humility, humbleness, submission, and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now look at how Jesus interacts with the centurion. He doesn't dismiss him. He doesn't disregard him. He doesn't ignore him. He doesn't overlook him. He's attentive, alert to the needs of this centurion. They speak in this story about nothing else. Nothing else is introduced. Singular soul focus. What is your need? How can I help you? The centurion was honest, clear about his need. And I believe that we need to do the same. As Christians, we can become very professional, very proficient, and a little over-spiritual in our language, in how we approach and interact with Jesus. And you look at the stories of healings all the way through the scriptures. Most of the people, the men and the women that Jesus healed, they were pretty frank, pretty blunt, pretty brash, I would even argue, in what their needs were. There was no polite pleasantries to set the tone or the agenda. It's, this is my need. You are the person who can help me. Please help me. And I believe that God honors that. I believe that God respects that, and God ultimately values that. You are not unworthy of God's attention. Amen? Your need is not too small or too big for God's interest and subsequent intervention. You are loved by God, and he wants to know your needs tonight. The centurion makes no attempt to color the landscape, paint the picture of who he is, what he's achieved in his life, all of his titles, all of his roles, all of his achievements. No, he just approaches Jesus, declares him as Lord, and says, this is the need for my servant. No sugarcoating. Let's not also forget, this servant was at death's door, paralyzed, unable to move. And even in that moment, Jesus broke through. Jesus can bring a word and heal you. And I believe there's a healing anointing in the house of the Lord tonight. And I want to return us to verse 7. And maybe you want to take a moment here tonight to just bow your head, close your eyes, fix your own heart and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe take a moment to recall and remember every healing, every answer to prayer that you have already enjoyed with Jesus. And I want you to think of yourself as the centurion at this moment. You've approached the Lord. You declare your need or the need of somebody that you know, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about. And I want the words of verse 7 to saturate your soul. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The enormity of those words cannot be lost on us tonight. It demonstrates a willingness, a desire, a motivation, a capacity, an ability from Jesus and Jesus alone to bring healing. And I believe with all my heart in this house, online, that whatever your need is, I believe Jesus is saying back to you, shall I come and heal you? It's a promise. It's a promise. And so in your own heart and in your own life, I want you to take a moment now, reflect, consider, what do you need healing from tonight? Is it spiritual sickness? Do you not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you put your trust in the world, in the things of the world, the structures of this world? I want to tell you, I want to encourage you tonight, place your trust in Jesus Christ. This centurion had probably 80 to 100 men under his authority. He would have had access to medicine and all sorts of facilities, but he went to Jesus. He went straight to Jesus. He didn't test and try other options. Maybe you're like the centurion's servant. You have a physical ailment. You may or may not even be at death's door. I believe even if you are just like the centurion's servant, you can be healed this very hour in Jesus' name. Maybe you are emotionally traumatized by childhood issues and challenges. Life has battered and bruised you. Your faith has been dented, disfigured. God has seemingly let you down. I want to tell you tonight, you're a child of God and He loves you. And I believe He can heal you. I believe He wants to heal you. If you would just open up your heart, open up your mind, do what this centurion did, call Him Lord. Declare your need. Don't be shy or slow. Declare your need. And I believe that Jesus can heal you tonight of every affliction, every stronghold, every problem, every addiction can be broken in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. But as the title of my sermon stipulates, Jesus was moved, amazed, marveled at the faith of this centurion, that he was willing, deeply desiring to step into the gap, to strip himself of all of his titles and accolades, accomplishments and achievements, and stand before a Jewish rabbi and say, I have need of you. And dare I say it, you may have titles, you may have achieved an incredible amount of things here on this earth, but I can confidently tell you, just like this centurion, you have need of God. And I believe that you will need to step out in faith tonight. No matter how small or big your need is, you will need to step out in faith. Faith without works is dead. And be prayed for. Come into agreement with mighty men and women of God and believe for your divine healing tonight. The question is really, do you have the faith and do you trust Jesus for it? The centurion did. And the testimony is clear. His servant was healed that very hour.